The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Busy show, all accounted for. Brady's in Minneapolis. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Good. I thought you might break a window with that opening.
Yeah, I was screeching there a little bit.
Well, you can tell Brady's on scene somewhere. Listen to all that noise in the background.
Look at you. It's like packed out there, Brady.
This is the busiest day of Radio Row I've ever seen. I've been at Radio Row for 14 total days of my life. This is by far the biggest. This is by far the craziest, the biggest crowd. This is nuts, frankly. This is nuts.
No more fights out there. I heard that. No, seriously, I heard that Mad Dog Russo from the Mad Dog channel got into a screaming match with a guest that was supposed to come on. Was supposed to come on Tori's show that we had on yesterday. Yeah. Blew him off, and they were screaming like crazy. They heard like Dan Marino was having dinner, and just like a whole bunch of people. Is that true or what?
Well, yeah, that's what I've heard, too. They were at some swanky steakhouse downtown, and Mad Dog Russo got blown off by David Deal, the old offensive lineman for the New York Giants, and then they just went at it in the steakhouse. Yeah, the Houston station that was the aggressor in yesterday's Radio Row fight, they got kicked out.
Yes, they did. I heard that.
They got thrown out of Radio Row.
They're doing the show from a Perkins restaurant.
Yes, they were doing it, and they were able to have Greg Gass, the comedian, come on with them, who I think was just going there for lunch, and they cornered him there.
So have you almost been in sort of a confrontational situation with anybody yet?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Not like really confrontational, but I get really, really mad, because if you followed the Facebook Live today, we have a 101.3 ESPN banner.
Yes.
And everybody who comes on the show this week, we've had sign the banner, but also people who maybe couldn't come on the show but have just stopped in passing, they've signed the banner. So we have on this banner right now all of our guests from this week, plus Hall of Famer Terry Bradshaw, Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson.
Wow.
All of these guys have signed this banner, and somebody came up here and put their soda on it.
That's blasphemy.
Because you get four seats, and there's only one of me here. So all these people want to come and utilize
your table.
Our table.
Yeah, I knew it. It happens all the time.
So they want to come and sit at our table. So, like, fine, I'll let you sit here if you don't disrupt us. That's fine. But don't put your Chick-fil-A thing on our banner here. And it's like, they'll put it, not only will they put it on the banner, they'll put it right over a signature. I had a cameraman 5 minutes ago stuck his camera right on top of Eric Dickerson.
I'm like, sir,
you're going to need to leave. Thanks.
I love that, though. But you've got a lot of signatures. You've got, 20, 30, something like that?
Yeah, so, I mean, right now, I'm looking at Mike Sherman, former head coach of the Packers, new coach of the Alouettes.
Wow.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films, who goes on with Colin Cowherd.
I think that's
week.
Howard's, was his nephew or something.
No, but the last name sure sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Howard's. Yeah,
yes. Terry Bradshaw, Brianna Scurry, who's a multi-time
gold medalist.
Yeah,
the goaltender.
Yeah, goaltender for
you
the
You didn't think I knew that, huh?
I knew you knew that.
Yeah.
Hussein Abdullah, longtime safety for the Chiefs and Vikings.
Yes.
Mike Haynes, the Hall of Famer. Carl Eller, who we had yesterday, is on here. I mean, Jerry Kramer, who we had yesterday. Lee Steinberg, the legendary sports agent, who stopped by, who's going to stop by in a little while here in a couple of minutes. Jermichael Finley, Ryan Leaf. This thing is worth a lot of money. And these people are putting literally Mountain Dew cans on it.
Oh, jeez. You should have. Yeah. Could you imagine? If somebody would have spilled on it, could you imagine?
Now, I would have been furious.
Now, what towns are these people from? Is this like the Cedar Rapids ESPN? Or, what is this? Is this New York City?
Cedar Rapids.
This is not so much radio people. The radio people are at their table.
Yeah,
it's like when there's
Scragglers.
A guest. Oh. Yeah, it's like if there's a guest walking around, the nine people in that guest entourage need a place to go. So, literally, Russell Wilson was in here earlier.
I heard him.
He was rolling 15 deep of people around him.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw Russell Wilson was three or four tables away from me. So I faced the camera one way. So Russell Wilson's in the background, but it looks like we're taking a selfie. So it looks like I've got a picture with Russell Wilson.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Sounds like you're having an absolute blast out there, though. Sounds like a good time.
It's a great time. I didn't get to talk to Russell Wilson, but if I did, I was wondering what would have meant more to me this week, talking to Russell Wilson or Rex Burkhead?
Yeah, oh, there's some serious man crush action going on there.
I don't know if you would have asked the question. You would have hi.
I'm
your
biggest fan.
I would have talked to Russ and been like 9-7. What's that about?
I love it. I just want to say this. We're going to have our Sears trivia question coming up in about 10 minutes, so get ready for that. It's a $100 Sears gift card, a fleece blanket, and a mini football. So we're going to be giving that away.
And speaking of fleece blankets, what'd you sleep on last night, Brady? Yeah.
I slept on the floor, same as I've been sleeping on, with the three blankets. But this time I slept in the middle of those two beds on the floor because I fell asleep watching TV. And the snoring was at an all-time high again. So it was. I even tried to put in earplugs, and they didn't work.
Oh, no.
Arnie, I'm going to need to find a podcast of your national show and just sleep with that in my ears because your gravelly voice nationally 10 times better than the snoring that I've been subjected to.
By the way, people have been sending me, I don't know what, tweets, texts. I don't know what the hell they're sending me. There was a caller on CBS Sports Radio that said, Arnie Spanier is the Tom Brady of sports radio.
I gotta get.
I don't know why.
Well, you two do bear a resemblance physically to each other.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Have you ran anybody that knew me or no? Not so far again.
No. I've run into a bunch of your boys from Fox, and I do want you to know that I took up your cause, by the way.
Oh, did you?
So we got our buddy who you will know, and no one in our audience will know, but our buddy Jason Barrett.
Oh, yes. Look at you.
So Jason Barrett is like a media consultant, and he does a bunch of stuff for stations around the country. Well, he releases, you know, what are the top 10 morning shows and the top 10
top
afternoon
20,
shows.
Yeah, top 20s, yeah.
And he does, and he did not put you as one of his top 20 national shows.
No, I saw that.
I introduced myself to him, and I said, Jason, I got to ask you a question. Why is Arnie not one of the top 20 national shows?
Arnie who?
No. He goes, don't blame me. The voters. Blame the voters. It wasn't me.
I mean, are there even 20 talk show hosts on the national?
21. I'm number 21. Must have missed out that top 20, Rich.
And Brady, let me get my daily question out of the way. Have you seen home plate yet?
No, I will do that by tomorrow.
Okay.
I will do that by tomorrow.
I just want to say, trivia night last night, excellent. Yep. The crowd last night. Heard a trivia question I've been dying to ask Brady, because I don't know if Rich knows. There's two people inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame that have absolutely nothing to do with the game of baseball. Do you know who they are?
There's two people in the Hall of Fame with nothing to do with the game of baseball.
Absolutely nothing to do with the game of baseball.
So they like an owner?
No,
like
owner would have something to do with
George
the game of baseball.
George H.W. Bush, is he in?
You know what? Good guess. But he was an owner, so he did. Right. But I thought it could be a president. I was up the same alley. Okay. But
I was
going to
say Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
No, it's not. And then I've heard people say, well, Kevin Costner, but then they're thinking, you know, right. No, actually, good guess.
Yeah.
And I said, it's in along those lines of an actor. How about that? It's in those lines of an actor.
Is it somewhat recent? Is this person still alive?
No, I don't think they are. But it's someone. Rich, you know the answer. Brady, I'm not so sure. I think he may know. You know 100%. I know that for a fact. Two players in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Look at the phones ringing. We're not giving anything away.
Not the question.
No, you want to know the answer?
This is going to bug me. Go ahead.
It's a dog.
Of
course.
Brady, do you know that the routine they did, Abbott and Costello?
Yes. Who's on first? Yeah. What's on second? Yeah. I don't know who's on
Rich
third.
Rich is kicking himself right now, are you not?
Of course.
Yeah, so I heard that one last night. I'm like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, if you had told me the two people were combined with each other, I might have had a shot.
But then, of course, somebody has to argue, well, Abner Doubleday's in, and the Doubleday's never invented baseball. It's proven. I'm like, stop it.
Did somebody finally beat the trivia Kings
yesterday?
No,
they still won. They're kicking butt out there. So, Brady, you're having a good time. Oh, by the way, Brady is a big star now.
Yeah, how about this?
I was reading The Big Lead, which is like one of the premier websites in all of America, in all of the world. I mean, like, Rich, at least 250 million people read that per month. And while I'm reading the article, they were talking about Reimer, the talk show host from Boston, who said something about Tom Brady's kid.
Yes.
And a lot of people didn't want to go on the record to give their opinion. But there it was, Brady Farkas of Burlington ESPN had to give his opinion. Did you not, Brady, or what?
I did. I spoke to the big lead. It's look, it might be kind of big, but it's no CNN like you.
No, you know. Did they just come up to people and want to get their opinions, or what happened?
Well, so Henry McKenna, who wrote the article, also doubles as a writer for PatriotsWire.com, and he's come on our show twice this year, this season. So he asked me as a favor if I would come on with him and talk about it on the record. So I did, and that was that. I didn't know it was going in the big league. I thought it was going in PatriotsWire.com, but it was going on the big league.
Look
pretty
at
soon,
that.
You can start autographing that banner.
Yeah, that's a big website that's run by my guy on the weekends that does Fox, yep. Jason McIntyre.
I'm telling you, we'll be able to say we knew him when.
Wow,
we
look
knew
at
him
that.
When.
You are back, such a big shot
back
now,
in his
huh?
Burlington days.
Wow, look at you.
Well, like I said, it's no CNN. No one's Skyping with me out here to talk about it. I can't even get a call from Jack Cordy at Channel 5.
Wait, intern Aaron wants to. What do you want to say, intern Aaron?
So we got a call from John in Burlington. He has a trivia question. I haven't vetted it, so if it's wrong, then that's on him. He says one man has played for the Celtics, Bruins, and Red Sox.
I got that one.
Oh, do you know? I figured, Richard. What is that?
John Kiley.
I'll check your answer in a minute.
Oh,
I guarantee you.
I'm pretty confident, though.
He was the organist at Boston Garden and Fenway Park.
Oh, there you go. So that's a good one, Rich. I like that one. Anyway, that was from Trivia last night. And we're going to be doing the Sears Trivia question in a couple of minutes. The first five people that text in at 802-655-6672 will put it into the hopper. Rich will draw a name, and we'll have one winner on that. What are your plans? You said you're going to dinner with the ESPN execs.
Yeah, the ESPN executives are taking all the affiliates out for dinner. So we got, you know, my old station in Albany, the ones that I'm staying with. We've got, the South Dakota guys are here. Texas is here. You know who just walked past me?
Who?
Carlton from the Fresh Prince.
Oh, get out of here.
Carlton from the Alfonso
Ruggiero. Yes, because he was in Dancing with the Stars. Didn't Carlton. He win Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, he won Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
So he just walked
I
directly
love that
behind
guy.
Me. He just walked directly behind me and gave me a little what's up.
Oh, so you got to get him on.
Get his
it's
autograph.
Like, hey, Carlton.
Yes.
So, ESPN executives tonight for dinner. That'll be fun. We're going to a place on the second floor of the Mall of America, so a little bit of exploring.
No, wait and a minute. Then, you just had Carlton walk by and you're just going to shun him like that? Listen to me.
He's got 10 people with him.
This could be our big acting break, like in my big acting break. this is how you get it.
Carlton has 10 people in his entourage.
Oh, hey, he's big time, Rich.
Unreal.
He does the, what's the name of the dance?
The Carlton.
The Carlton.
Of course.
You never seen him do the Carlton?
Of course, I've never wasted one second of my life watching that show.
Oh, but he did it on Dancing with the Stars.
That's
too.
What I mean.
People went wild on it. Oh, and they loved it. They loved it. Oh.
And then we're going to go back after dinner to the hotel, watch the premiere of the 30 for 30 tonight on Belichick. The two Bills, so that debuts at 9. Yeah. That goes 9 to 10:30, and then it's a definite hotel bar night. That's for sure.
A big party night out there. I guess anybody that's coming in has to be there now. I've few scraggler stations are coming in. By the way, are they going to take out like the ESPN New York station, the ESPN LA station, or is it just like the small market stations?
It's the affiliates, so it's going to be anyone who's affiliated with ESPN.
Well, that's a hell of a bill.
Yeah,
it's going to be the big wigs.
Could you imagine what you could do with that liquor bill?
Yeah, you're not drinking. You're drinking some stuff I can't even pronounce tonight.
You're going to your bill is going to be like when there's 10 guys from a football team that's sticking it to a rookie, and it's like one of those $25,000 bills. It's going to be one of those, Rich.
You know, order
two steaks to bring one home. That's what you got.
Gross. You know the best move I've made all week, Arnie, and you'll appreciate this.
Yeah,
and I'm
going
to make sure everyone involved is not around me at the moment. So we were supposed to have on at one point today Ricky Seals-Jones. And that doesn't mean a whole lot to you maybe, but Ricky Seals-Jones, some of our fantasy listeners will know this. He's a tight end currently, just finished his rookie year for the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
And he only had 12 catches this year, but he had 3 touchdowns. So we're going to have Ricky Seals-Jones on. I was probably just going to put it online. Don't know if I was even going to run it on the show. But he ended up totally missing our spot. And his agent with him, she goes, "What can I do to make this up for you? How can I make this up to you? I'm so sorry." She's standing next to Eric Dickerson. So I'm like, "You could get Eric Dickerson to sign our banner."
No, so, get Eric Dickerson on the show.
He didn't have time to come on the show, but I think it's worth more to us to get Eric Dickerson's signature on our banner than it is Ricky Seals-Jones on the show.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. I've seen him on Colin's show before. He's a good guy.
I was going to ask him why Jeff Fisher kicked him off the sideline.
Oh, yeah. He'll sure talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd jump on that one.
Oh, he does.
Oh, really?
He is totally outspoken.
I would think he'd set in the beginning before the interview even happens. Here are the things you can't ask me.
Oh, he's totally outspoken. All right, Brady, before we get to the Sears giveaway, and I know we have Lee Steinberg coming up next segment, but what is on the show today? What's going on?
A ton of coming up as far as guests goes. Lee Steinberg, the legendary super agent, invented the agent position, essentially, in the NFL, and the basis for the movie Jerry Maguire. That's in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Big deal, little deal, no deal, 4:35. Yeah. At 5 o'clock, Ken Rogers, he's the director of the 30 for 30 on Belichick, premieres tonight. Here's one you'll like, Bonnie Jill Laughlin at 5:20. Bonnie Jill Laughlin is one of the most unbelievable resumes I've ever seen. Former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, and then became the assistant general manager of the Lakers G League affiliate, and was the first female scout in NBA history.
Wow.
So she's been a Cowboy, Warrior, and 49er cheerleader, and an NBA scout. She's going to sit down with us at 5:20, and at 5:35, we'll hear from Liam McHugh, who's on the Super Bowl coverage. But, Rich, I might ask him some hockey questions, because he's also the host of the NHL on NBC.
Yes.
Nice. I like that.
Let hockey reign supreme.
All right. By the way, Brady's Trip, sponsored by, thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. So we want to thank them for making it all possible. All right. Before we do anything, Rich, let's throw out that trivia question for the Sears. A $100 gift card, a fleece blanket, a mini football.
Yeah.
The first five people with the correct answer to on the Top Fair Tire text line. Don't call in. Text it in. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. We'll take the first five. We'll put it in the hat, and you'll draw out the winner. So what is the question, Rich?
On the Sears Game Day Survival Kit question of the day, who did Tom Brady give his Chevy truck to after winning the MVP in 2015 of Super Bowl 49?
Ah, one more time. Give that question
who
again.
Who did Tom Brady give his Chevy truck to after winning MVP of Super Bowl 49?
And it's not Rich. I'll give you a hint. It's not Rich.
So we will take the first five people on the text line.
Once again, they're coming in quick now.
It's not a phone call. It's we want you on the text here. Get a fleece blanket, a mini football, and a $100 Sears gift card. You can check out big game deals like 70% off winter apparel at the Sears store, University Mall, South Burlington, or online at Sears.com, plus cash back in Shop Your Way points on every purchase.
Brady had a chance to sit down with Lee Steinberg. I'm looking forward to this. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, the huddle is back, and Brady is live on the scene at Radio Row in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52. Hey, how come he got to go anyways? It's the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Inside the Mall of America, counting down until Super Bowl 52 between our Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. But first, we're running into a guy that I ran into last year, and we have to get him on again because he was so engaging and so enlightening, and I got so many more questions this year. It's the legendary sports agent, Lee Steinberg. Lee, how are you?
As fine as anyone in the North Pole can be.
How many Radio Rows is this for you?
Oh, gosh. This is my 44th draft, and I've done 31 Super Bowl parties, or hosted, 35. There wasn't really Radio Row in the earlier days. So
yeah.
This has evolved, over the last 15 years this way.
You mentioned this will be your 44th draft. Do you have your draft client base already done? Are you working to finalize it? When do you have your draft base finalized?
So, in the old days, the athletes used to take more time. And I took players like Jim Harbaugh or Edgerrin James. They actually signed after the draft with me.
Oh, really? So they got drafted without an agent. Okay.
Yes. But that day is long gone because now every college draftee goes off to some training facility in January.
Yeah.
And they get trained for the scouting combine. They get trained for pro scouting day back on their campus. They get trained, some of them, to do better at an all-star game. And that process, the wonderful privilege of paying for that has now been deeded to agents.
Yeah.
So they want to know who their agent is so they can get started training.
Now, we're fascinated with the draft this year because even though we're a Patriot station, there are a number of Giant fans in our area, too. The Giants hold the number two pick in the draft, and there's a lot of high-level talent that's going to be available to them. What's your read on this draft class as a whole?
Well, I think that if you want to look at it from a need standpoint, there are more teams in the market for either a current or future starting quarterback than there have been in a long time. And so if you take a team like the Giants, were they to draft high at the quarterback position, that player could learn behind Eli Manning and get the best of both worlds, just like Patrick Mahomes got this last year. So the time to make that move in modern thinking is not when you desperately need the quarterback. It's to give the quarterback a little bit of embryonic time and draft him before you need him.
Sports agent Lee Steinberg revolutionized the business. He's here with us on Radio Row. You mentioned Pat Mahomes, quarterback for the Chiefs. Now, that's your client. It looks like he's going to get his chance at Kansas City to start. They trade Alex Smith late on a Tuesday night. Good day for you, I imagine.
Well, you know, Patrick's reaction was a little sadness in terms of Alex Smith, because he'd been very classy towards him and helpful, and that's not always the case when you have the heir apparent sitting behind the quarterback. We had the thought they were probably going to go ahead and do this, but thought it might be closer to the draft. There's probably nobody quite as ready because of his background as Patrick emotionally to be able to handle this, because his father was a major league pitcher, relief pitcher for some years. His godfather, LaTroy Hawkins, is 20 years as a pitcher.
Yeah.
So he grew up around athletes. He saw what the price they paid were. He saw what the key was in terms of success. And he also got a sense of balance and temperament, so he's not going to get too high or too low. Especially a relief pitcher needs that. So no quarterback is ready, because they're going to improve the more time they see the field. But what you had in the last couple years is that the draftees, instead of going to a mini camp and then going away until training camp, now get about 4 or 5 weeks in off-season training. So they really get a little bit of a early training camp before training camp. So that's helpful.
Now, we talked to Ryan Leaf earlier in the week, and he's fascinating. We've had him on before. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, you repped Ryan through the draft process. And I remember watching an E60 on him, and I thought it was really enlightening that he so badly did not want to go to Indianapolis that he kind of sabotaged the draft process. You can clear me up on it, but he wanted to skip a meeting so that they wouldn't take him. Is that how it went?
It sort of is, but I got in bad trouble when my agent book was published, because I told that story, and then in retrospect, everyone does revisionist history.
Okay.
The funny thing about it is that at that time, although it'd be impossible to remember, Ryan Leaf was judged by many people to be the better quarterback prospect.
Right.
You know, much more physical, talented, better arm. He did want... if the choice was Indianapolis or San Diego, he wanted to go to San Diego.
Now, how do you handle a client that has an attitude like, you know, they really... because he could be your client someday, I'm not going to ask you specifically, but Josh Rosen said, he'd rather not play for the Browns. counts. So if you had a client say they would rather not play for X team, how do you handle that as an agent?
Well, first of all, you make sure they don't say it.
Yeah, right. So, that's my thought.
The reality is that, look, the draft was not handed down by Moses to God on Mount Sinai. It's not part of the Constitution. It's a control system that limits where a player can go, unlike anybody else coming off a college campus. So I don't have a problem with a player expressing the preference, but you should do it quietly behind the scenes and not have it become public, because you're only going to get someone who thinks you're too big for your britches and all the rest of it. So I thought you were going to ask me about how you handle Ryan Leaf.
Well, that is the next question, I guess. How do you handle a guy who at the time... Now, look, Ryan Leaf's great now, but he wasn't probably very easy to deal with then. How do you handle that client?
It was sort of a hidden problem, because he came through the draft fine. He came through the contract negotiations fine. He played well in the preseason. He played well the first two games, yeah, and they won it. And then he gave an unfortunate interview where he told a writer to get out of his face. Now, that happens in the locker room all the time, but his was captured on tape.
Yeah.
And he got run repetitively, and so the repetitive news cycle will amplify the impact of it, so you don't just think Ryan Leaf had two bad seconds. You think he's rude and unfriendly all the time.
Yeah.
So, and then he sort of went in. So what do? You get the best psychologist you can working with the person. You don't deny the problem. You go after the problem. And in his case, I'm sure he'd back this up, he just withdrew. So it became harder and harder to reach him, and he became more and more paranoid about the world, and so it made it very difficult.
Lee Steinberg with us on Radio Row. I got two more questions. We spent a lot of the first half of the season wondering about Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo and how they could or couldn't coexist and going forward. How tough is it when you're an agent and you rep two guys on the same team at the same position? Because that's what Brady, you know, Don Yee is his agent. He repped both him and Garoppolo. How tough a situation is that?
Well, first of all, remember, some of that happens organically,
yeah,
because sometimes the quarterbacks are friendly enough and good friends that they'll refer their backup to you. And so I've had that situation. You have to really represent each player as if he was the only player.
Yeah.
And be able to sort of tune that out. So if the issue is you have two competitive quarterbacks in the draft, then you have to say, well, the teams are going to make the selections and the teams are going to have their preferences and the rest of it. I can't really change that. In a situation like that, it reminds me a lot of what I had with Steve Young behind Joe Montana.
Yeah.
And Joe Montana was not the friendliest person in the world to Steve Young. And Steve being there made him play much better. And so I don't know what their personal relationship was, but... you know, Garoppolo, to me, the 49ers should sign him long-term. He's got all the makings of a franchise quarterback,
yeah,
and they're pretty hard to find. Look, the beauty of New England is that because of stable ownership, because of a long-term plan, because of a great front office, and because of a superb coach, they are qualitatively as an organization above virtually any other organization in football. And they scheme so well and adapt so well that injuries that would cripple another team, it's almost like plug-and-play modular.
Yeah.
So that, well, you know, we don't have Julian Edelman, but guess what? Danny Amendola's up for it. And when they're scheming like that, it's almost as if you wonder the defense they're playing against, because they can get that receiver open to the sideline or over the middle over and over and over again. And they seemingly be able to turn it on at will. So no, but that's a tribute to when you have a it's the most dynamic sports empire that we've seen in recent times in any sport. And they're that much better. So It's because this whole system is put together to stop the Patriots of the world from doing what they're doing. It's designed to make them discard free agents because of the salary cap. It's designed to have their free agents be of such value to other teams because they want the Super Bowl magic that they get offered money that the Patriots can't match. And, you know, you have endorsements and all these things going on, and they always draft last. As a matter of fact, sometimes it seems like Belichick thinks of the draft as an afterthought. But they have a system that's so superior that it just works.
Lee, we appreciate the time. Thanks as always.
My pleasure.
There you go, the big man himself. That, by the way, that's all brought to you by Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. He is iconic. I mean, it doesn't get more iconic than that, Brady, you know what I mean?
No, he was great. And, look, it was really enlightening hearing about that Joe Montana didn't get along with Steve Young, because we spent much of the year wondering how Brady and Garoppolo related to each other. I thought it was fascinating.
And I love the part right at the end there, just talking about how the NFL is doing everything it possibly can to take the Patriots' dominance out of the picture.
Yeah.
And yet everybody's opinion is that the NFL is doing everything possible to make the Patriots win. So, I mean, as he looks at it, it's completely the opposite.
Yeah, I imagine it was the same back for the 90s Cowboys and the 80s 49ers. Yeah. I imagine anytime you get this kind of, you know, this dynastic thing going on, that yes, the league would like to curtail that to get new blood in there and keep the league fresh. But he is right. I mean, and you see this all the time. It's what's so amazing about what Brady has done, taking pay cuts, etc. Because, I mean, look, I use the Seahawks because they're my team, but look at what happened. They win the Super Bowl, their prices get inflated, and they overpay for some of their own guys to keep them, and then the rest of those guys get poached by other teams, and the team's not as good anymore. That hasn't happened to the Patriots.
I bet you Lee Steinberg was in high demand out there, huh? There must have been people all over that guy.
Yeah, he's been, you know, a lot of people have wanted to talk to him. We were lucky enough to get him right now, and lucky enough to get him for 10 to 12 minutes, and he's moved on, and he's somewhere else already.
Yeah,
did he actually yell, "Show me the money"?
It's funny. He was signing the banner while I was asking a question, and he wrote on it, "Show me the money."
Oh,
that's how he signed the banner.
I love that.
Man,
that's
that price
so
is
awesome.
Going up.
So Lee Steinberg is now on the banner.
All right, Brady, by the way, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, lots to get to. Brian Baldinger of the NFL Network.
Oh,
Baldy.
I love Baldy. Tell him I said, give a kiss for me.
He is coming up right at the beginning of the show. We'll also hear from Myron Medcalf of ESPN and Mike Golic Jr.
Look at his pinky. It points one way, and all of his fingers point the other way. Go look at it. It's pretty bad. He's certainly been around the block. All right, Rich, let's give the answer to the trivia question. What was the trivia question for the Sears gift card?
All right, the key for this, the answer to know this, is what Super Bowl it was. It was the one where they won the game on the interception.
Yes,
yes. The last play. We won't belabor the point since Brady is listening. But who did Tom Brady give his Chevy truck to after winning the 2015 Super Bowl, Super Bowl 49, after he won the MVP? Of course, he gave it to Malcolm Butler.
Yes, he did.
Basically gave Tom Brady the victory.
Yes, he did.
And we had a lot of right answers, a lot of wrong answers. And just a hint,
a
if
lot
you're doing
of wrong
this,
answers.
Don't be known as unnamed. That makes it really hard for us to pick you.
But a lot of wrong answers. I was shocked. I thought everybody would have gotten this one right. Rich.
Yeah, I'm going to, let's see. Let's reach in here with
reach
the right
in there.
Answers.
We put the first five that got the answers in there.
All right.
And the winner is.
How about Rich? Shane in Plattsburgh? He got it right.
Shane in Plattsburgh. What does Shane in Plattsburgh win, Rich?
Well, let me tell you what he wins,
Johnny.
What does
he win, Rich?
He won a fleece blanket, a mini football, and a $100 Sears gift card. Again, check out big game deals like 70% off winter apparel at the Sears store, University Mall, South Burlington, or online at Sears.com, plus cash back in Shop Your Way points on every purchase.
I'd love to get that fleece blanket, though. I could.
So would
that.
Brady.
Maybe we'll just keep it
ourselves.
Yeah,
you could sleep on it.
Brady, what's coming up next, my friend?
It's a Thursday. We don't want to change the show too much. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
That is next. Stick around right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to the huddle. It's time for our newest feature.
Maybe this one will sweep the nation also.
It's time for Big Deal.
Rich, you guys are missing the point. This is a huge deal.
Little deal.
Oh, please, Artie. This is nothing.
Or no deal.
You guys are both wrong. It's in the middle. How am I even still listening to you?
On 101.3 ESPN.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Brady out of Minneapolis at the Super Bowl. Thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. Time for Big Deal, Little Deal, or No Deal, or No Deal, or No Deal. Or no, okay, I hit something. Okay.
It's there.
I wanted him to panic a little bit.
Poor kid.
I know. I'm driving him crazy. You see him nervous? You see him shaking, too?
I'd be more annoyed.
I think he's shaking because he wants to hit you.
He was shaking like that radio host in Houston that was getting all the...
What did you just say to me?
All right, what's first up, Brady? What do we got?
Question one. The Patriots haven't scored in the first quarter in any Brady Belichick Super Bowl. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
That's amazing.
Well, obviously, it's not a big deal until this Super Bowl, and they're not going to do it again because you see Philadelphia's defense way too strong. And in a game that is going to be like a 23-20, 26-23, something like that, I think this is going to be a big deal if they don't score in the first quarter. That's going to be tough because if you get behind by double digits like 7 or 10 or 10 points like that, two scores, that could be trouble. I'm saying big deal if they don't score in the first quarter of the Super Bowl.
This is the strangest stat. I remember hearing about 2 weeks ago this for the first time in my life, and think about how bizarre that is. I just couldn't believe it. I was sure somebody was telling me a lie.
Especially with their success.
Yeah. I mean, and think about all the Super Bowls. I just have to think this is a coincidence. It has to be, doesn't it? I'm saying it's no deal because it just has to be a coincidence.
I'm saying it's no deal also. And the reason why, because every Super Bowl is different. What's happened in the past doesn't matter now. And Brady and Belichick are not people that get consumed by what's happened in the past, positive or negative. If they were the type that you know, we're fixated on the past, I would say it's a very big deal, but they are not, so therefore it is not. I think, look, the Patriots, we know this, they feel their way through the first quarter, and if that manifests itself at 0 points, 3 points, or 10 points, then so be it. They just need to keep the game close through halftime, and then they think they got a chance, so I'm saying it's no deal.
Wow.
I actually agreed on one.
Wow. All right, what's the next one, Brady?
Question two, the Patriots have said they will let Tom Brady decide when to retire. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Wow. Well, you see, this is the problem here, is that is he going to go after George Blanda's record? I think George Blanda, George Blanda played until he was 48 years old, but the last like 7-8 years was a kicker. He only played as a quarterback until he was 39.
Right.
So he knew when to hang it up. Look. I guess it's good because of all the success that the Patriots have had, that Tom Brady's had. I think the Patriot fans would give back a little bit of some losing seasons toward the end of Tom Brady's career if they got him into the playoffs. Excuse me, not losing seasons. I take that back. If he got him into the playoffs but didn't win the whole thing or got eliminated in the first round. So I think it's a big deal that they're going to let him stay for as long as he wants, but I think Patriot fans are fine with it.
Yeah, I'd say it's a big deal, but then part of me says it's no deal because he's been so successful. So I'm going to compromise and go halfway with little deal. My biggest concern about letting... First of all, if any human being that's played sports in my lifetime deserves to dictate the terms of his goodbye, it is Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
But it worries me a little bit, and I can't imagine he would fall into this category. But I don't want Tom Brady out there going 4-for-19 with 2 interceptions and having the team be, 6-10 because he doesn't know when it's time to hang up. I don't think he's that guy. I think he's a proud guy, but I think he has also got an incredible sense of, reality on his shoulders. So I'm going to go little deal on that.
It's a big deal to me because it's a deviation from everything we've known about the Patriots, and it does show that they're choosing Brady over Belichick. And if Belichick is the type, as all we've heard about, is he'll move on from you 1 year too early rather than 1 year too late, they're not going to ever give him the chance to move on from Tom Brady. You are right. Brady deserves it more than anybody else. But it's a deviation from the organizational norm, and it shows very clearly where the allegiances lie in that organization. And it aligns with Brady rather than Bill Belichick.
What's the next one, Brady? What do we got? Question three.
Question three. This is a fun one, and I know Arnie's not going to care one bit about it. I already know Arnie's going to say no deal. The Patriots specialists, a.k.a. their kicker and punters, got to kick at the actual game stadium this week because the ceilings are too low in the Vikings practice facility. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Is there anything lower than no deal? Yeah. I mean, if you're worried about kicking there now after being in the league how long? I mean, really, seriously, I don't care how low the ceiling is and stuff like that. I really don't. It makes no difference to me whatsoever. You're professionals. It should make a difference. No deal. I don't care if you got the kick in there early or not.
So this is as low as the bottom of a pothole on Pine Street. Is that what you're saying?
Something like that.
And just to go completely the opposite, I think it's a big deal, and I use this term very loosely, but as a former kicker, try not to laugh too hard. I just think kickers are creatures of habit, and they like things more than any other player on the field to be familiar. They like, especially for the Patriots. I'm sure Philadelphia's been in that state. Well, maybe they haven't, but I mean, I suspect they've been in it at some point. I think if it's a place like Minnesota, that brand new place, you need, as a Patriot especially, to get a feel for it as a kicker. You want to become comfortable in your surroundings. You want it to be familiar, because there's a very good chance the game is going to be on the line and it's going to be on your right foot.
Yeah, it's 100% a big deal, and it's for a lot of the reasons that Rich just said, but also just think about the alterations you would have to make to your kicking or punting style, you know, in the practice setting, just to be able to even be able to get your kicks off. Now you don't have to go through that amending process of your skill set. Arnie, think about it this way. If I tell you that you're going to play a game on a 10-foot rim, but all week you've practiced on a 9-foot rim,
yeah,
I think there's going to be some. Wow. I think there's going to be some slippage there, you know, and you're going to overcompensate for some things in practice to be able to shoot on the 9-foot rim. I think that's exactly the equation that can be made here. I think this is a big deal. I think it's a good move by the NFL allowing them to. It's a good move for the Patriots wanting them to, and I do think it could end up being a very big factor on Sunday.
Do you know how many times it's happened there before? I have no idea. I'm just curious.
How many times that other teams have done this?
No, that it's like hit the ceiling or something like that.
I don't know, but I did have somebody on Twitter yesterday even bring this up to me before this story came out.
You know, because we had this problem in Dallas.
Yes.
Where it would hit the scoreboard.
It would hit the bottom of the scoreboard. I'm not sure if this is still the rule. Do you know what the rule is if it hit the scoreboard?
I do not.
A do-over.
Huh.
Yeah, you would do the play over.
How about that? Those two stadiums are, what, combined about $4 billion?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And yet they can't figure out how to make them high enough to avoid that problem.
That's absolutely shocking.
Remember, this is the practice facility we're talking about.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
The practice facility was messed up, so that's why they had to go over.
What's the next one, Brady?
Question four. Mookie Betts. He beat the Red Sox in his arbitration case. He's going to make more than $10 million. They wanted him to make just about $7.5 million.
Yeah.
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
You know what? I know they went back and forth. There's going to be a lot of hard feelings. But what did I hear? That this is the second highest or the highest that somebody's got in his in the year of arbitration? I could care less. First of all, I'm listening. I'm like, $10 million? Is that a lot of money for Mookie Betts? I'm like, wow, they got a deal. It's like I hear of all these contracts, $50 million here, and Martinez wants 7 years, if not 70 years, and this guy wants 5 years, and this guy wants 10 years, and $100 million, and Kershaw's getting $300 million, and Benson's getting $10 million?
Yeah.
I there's nothing for me. I don't see what the big thing is about this.
This is an absolutely huge deal for the Red Sox in their future, because all they're doing is infuriating Mookie Betts. He's going to go back the next 2 years, and he's going to go back to the arbitration table, and he's probably going to win, and all they're doing is making him mad. I think he's under contract for 3 more years, and they're just going to do this every year. What in the world is the difference between $7 million and $10 million for a guy who's that young and that talented? You should pay him now. I mean, and if you don't, you're going to lose him.
Well, it's a big deal, but it's not that easy, Rich. I mean, the team doesn't want to, because this, as you said, this arbitration deal affects his future arbitration deal. So you don't want to go so high and concede in year one that you get completely whitewashed in the process in year two and three. That said, Mookie Betts is not the guy you want to be picking your battles with.
Absolutely.
Here. Because Betts, as you said, he is that important to your future. And if you're the Red Sox, you can't re-sign all of these guys. You can't re-sign Sale and Betts and Bradley and Bogarts and keep Benintendi when it's time to pay him. But Betts is the one guy that you should want to keep above all else, him and Sale. I would have come to the table and negotiated this and tried to meet in the middle. Give him 9, something that's in the middle, and hope he takes that, because all the arbitration process is basically Betts hearing why he's not as good in the Red Sox mind as he thinks
right,
he is.
Right. I think it's crucial. And they're just going to revisit this again next year. And the split between the two parties is just going to grow and grow by the time it's time for a long-term deal. Yeah.
Question number five.
Yep.
I was quoted in the big league website. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
This is perhaps the biggest deal out of any question that's been asked to us, Rich. It's enormous. Actually, this is probably bigger than the game itself, the Super Bowl. When I read this, my jaw just about hit the ground. I mean, to be quoted in the big lead, which is actually available on the internet.
So I've never heard of it.
So that's available to everybody in the world. I say I talk to a quarter of a billion per month. Right. Brady reaches now in that big lead article.
Trillion?
Everybody in the world.
More.
Even in war-torn Bosnia.
There are people listening that know you in Zanzibar today.
In war-torn Bosnia, they're reading the big lead going, that Brady Farkas doesn't know what he's talking about. But they're saying in war-torn Bosnia.
Yeah.
This is a humongous deal beyond epic proportions I could even discuss.
The Siberian Peninsula is just going crazy right now. They're having a huge vodka party celebrating the mere presence of Brady Farkas.
Borscht, too? Is that what they're having? Borscht?
That would be no deal. No deal
wow.
at all. Until I'm on CNN wow. like Arnie or have done a national radio
wow.
show, then it's no deal.
Well, at wow. least you're the one here that doesn't have the face made for radio. You would think you'd be the guy on TV.
Arnie, your boss from Fox Sports is over there in the commercial. I'm going to go say hi.
You mean Scott Shapiro?
Yes, I'm going to tell him. Do you have a message for him?
Tell him he's the best boss I've ever had in the world. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Should I tell him Arnie wants to know why he's not on in Morning Drive?
You tell him Arnie loves working opposite the Super Bowl. I look forward to it every year. And I don't want to do Morning Drive because it's too early for me to wake up. So there you go. No, he's a good guy. You'll absolutely love him. So go say hello. Have fun. All right, though, when we get back, we'll finish out the hour with Clean Up Your Act. And then, of course, a lot of good interviews coming up in hour two. Real busy day. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Two-thirds of the huddle are freezing here in Vermont, while Brady is live on radio in Minneapolis, living it up. Actually, he's probably freezing, too. We're getting you ready for Super Bowl 52 right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Brady out of Minneapolis. Thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. So want to thank him for sending Brady out there. He's partying up a storm, having a great time out in Minneapolis. So it's still pretty cold out there, obviously. What, like 5 degrees or something, or what?
Yeah, it was like -2 this morning.
But you don't have to go out. You're inside. You go from most people go from the hotel to the mall.
Yeah, but I got to take a shuttle, and then the shuttle drops you off right at the mall. So I haven't been out too much. I did just meet your boss at Fox. He had some interesting things to say in that 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow. You going to share it with us, or you'd rather do it off the air?
No, I'm going to share it with you, but I was going to make you my clean up your act in a minute as a result.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, let me start that real quick. I don't know if this really goes up to clean up your act. It's kind of a serious one. I think the NBA is in big, big trouble if the rumor turns out to be true that LeBron James wants to go to Golden State.
Oh, that was mine.
I don't believe that.
I'll just say this. I do believe it. And I think LeBron James' camp leaked that out. I believe he does want to go to Golden State. If he goes to Golden State, I think that'd be like the worst thing that's ever happened. Yeah. To the NBA.
I agree.
I think to have one dominant team like that. And let me tell you something. Everybody in the world, whether you like basketball or not, it's going to be rooting against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, it'd be funny if you took that one because that was mine too. And I see it. Of course, I'm a Celtics fan, and that's the NBA I've always said is my fourth favorite league of the Big Four. And the only time I really pay attention to it is when the Celtics are good. You put LeBron on Golden State and you lose everybody.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, they go 75-7 or whatever, however many games they play, and there'd be nobody would have any chance. I mean, it would be fun when Golden State made their one appearance in your town every year.
But that's about it. It would ruin the NBA. Yeah.
But, I mean, don't they need to? I mean, how many superstars with max contracts can you have on one team? They've got, three, four?
How they work it.
They talked about them potentially having to trade Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson was Which I'm sure Klay was happy to hear that, to be honest with you.
the bigleague.com, which I've been quoted in, they said this is actually the first sign that LeBron wants to stay in Cleveland, just trying to ruffle the feathers a little bit to get them into action.
It's up there.
Meanwhile, how about Golden State and Salt Lake City last night losing by 30?
Yeah, yeah, how about that?
Every once in a while, you get one of those games.
How about Arnie's Knicks losing by 30 to the Celtics?
Yeah, yeah, how about that, Arnie? Any thoughts?
No, no thoughts whatsoever. None was that.
I tell you what, I was very nervous when Marcus Morris threw that dunk down and landed directly on his elbow and shoulder.
I was very nervous when you just went over to speak to my boss, so what did he have to say?
Well, so Arnie, what is your Twitter account?
Stinking Genius 1.
He said, tell Arnie that he's no genius and he does stink.
Wow.
A lot of love in the room there.
This is the guy who runs all of Fox, by the way. I just want you to know that.
Then he told me, I said that, I had to go because I was doing the show with you. You were back in the studio. He goes, oh, they didn't send you? He goes, they sent the youth, huh?
Yes.
And I said, yeah, I'm sleeping on the floor and stuff in another station's room. He goes, yeah, well, if Arnie came, they'd have to put him up $2,000 a night. He's such a pain. And then he said, seriously, tell him he's a riot, and he probably keeps you young.
Yeah, well, he's a good guy. You would love working for a guy like that. He's a really nice guy, Rich. He's
Don't give Brady any ideas. That he knows everybody.
You know what's crazy? He's really young too, is he not? He looks like he's like 35 or something like that. So
he's a young guy. You know who just walked next to me? It was Tim Brown in his Hall of Fame jacket.
Oh, look at that! He just said, look at him name dropping, Rich.
Man, pick these people off.
Jeez.
Tim Brown, LaDainian Tomlinson was here a little while ago.
Are you not talking smack when they walk by? You ain't blank, man. You ain't blank when you play.
Sorry about that loss to the Patriots,
LaDainian. You ain't blank, man. You ain't blank.
Like Tim Brown. Hey, you're not as good as Moss.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. They like to hear that stuff, Brady. Yeah. They do. So
I'm sure.
There you go. Clean up your act as we finish off hour number one. All right, this is what we're going to do. Brady, you're going to have a SportsCenter update. And then tell everybody who you had a chance to catch up with.
Well, we'll catch up with Ken Rogers. He's the director of the 30 for 30 called The Two Bills that debuts tonight. It's about Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'll tell us more about that when we get back after your update. All that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, the huddle is back, and Brady is live on the scene at Radio Row in Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52. Hey, how come he got to go anyways? It's the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN, hour number two of the show. By the way, Brady out at the Super Bowl, thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales. It is 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. By the way, free food and booze today for lunch or no?
The food for lunch was... it was Buffalo Wild Wings, so we got some more Buffalo Wild Wings. There's no booze for lunch, although there are.
With all the fights going on, who knows, man?
They do put out Minnesota craft beer starting at 5 p.m., but I wait until off the air.
That is 5 o'clock?
Yeah, so once 5 o'clock hits, they put out the beer and out in the media lounge.
There's shows that go to 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night there. I don't know 5 o'clock.
The Denver station stays here until midnight Central Time. There's a Washington, D.C. station, which is here for a while. San Francisco is here for a good amount of the day. So, and then some of the stations are here as early as 2 in the morning.
Ooh.
Getting ready for what are 5 a.m. Eastern Time shows.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you're going to have Mike Golic Jr. on in Champlain Valley Game Night tonight. I listened to him, obviously, coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning. And there he was on Radio Row this morning, and I had to laugh. I'm thinking to myself, he's in this massive mall, and I bet he's almost literally by himself doing his show. Yeah.
That I was talking to him earlier. Like I said, he'll come on at 6:40, and then he'll probably go right to bed after that. But, he told me, he said it's literally just him and security at 2 in the morning.
And a guy sweeping the floors.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Brady, tell us who we got coming up.
Ken Rogers, he's sitting down with us right now, the director of the 30 for 30 on the Two Bills. Let's get to it. All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com, live from Radio Row, Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis. And of all the interviews we've had scheduled, of all the interviews we still have to come later today and on Friday, this has been one of the ones I've had circled that I've been looking forward to. Talking to us now is Ken Rogers, the director of the 30 for 30, premieres tonight, 9 p.m. over on ESPN. It's called The Two Bills. It's about Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells and their relationship. Ken, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. I can't believe that that's actually true. The stars walking through here, I can't believe it. I'm walking through the mall and I see, Hall of Fame jackets at Chick-fil-A. Yeah. It's amazing.
So it has been a crazy week. And this is one of your first interviews on Radio Row. What's your overall impressions?
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You know?
Being next to the food court
Shake Shack? Oh, my God. I'm looking at Shake Shack, and I feel like I really need a shake. Even though it's so cold out, yeah. I really want a chocolate shake. A malt shake.
Well, as I tell people, people say, oh, man, it's so cold here. I go, we're from Burlington, Vermont. This is a normal Thursday.
That's right.
So the movie premieres tonight. And let's start with the question you probably get asked all the time. We know that Belichick is, quote, hard to deal with. How long did it take to get the project greenlit? Did he have to be convinced to get it done?
Hard to deal. Is he? Is he hard to deal with?
That's the rumor on the street.
That's the rumor. You know, listen, he can be in that he doesn't want to waste time on things he doesn't want to waste time on.
Right.
I mean, he has that luxury now. He's Bill Belichick. And he is singularly focused on his art form, which is winning football games.
Yeah.
You know, but he has always had a great relationship with NFL Films. And the reason is because NFL Films has always been focused on their art form, mm-hmm. making great films. And he and Steve Sable have always had this, kinship going back to the 70s because they don't care about the BS around football. So even before Steve Sable passed away in 2012, we were doing really in-depth stuff with Coach Belichick that other great coaches never let us do.
Yeah.
The Bill Walshes never let us do. Don Shula's never let us do. And I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I sort of represent the next generation of NFL Films to Coach Belichick. So when we asked him to sit down with Coach Parcells, the answer was yes pretty quickly. He recognized that this was a part of his career that hasn't been recorded. And he said it in the press conference yesterday, you know, I wanted to have it in one place where you could look at it. And if you want to know about me and Bill, here you go. This is the film to look at.
What are we going to learn tonight?
I think you're going to learn Bill Belichick's a lot more complicated than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think. In what way?
In that there's a lot more sides to him than you would imagine. And there's a lot more sides to this relationship. You're going to see Bill Belichick with a mustache in 1980. So there's one thing, you know, you can't pass that up. You're going to hear about how Bill Belichick almost became a coach for the Minnesota Vikings in 1984 and would have never, if he took that job, become the two-time Super Bowl champion coordinator of the Giants. He would be here in Minnesota possibly as a, you know, coach for a long time instead of New York. You're going to hear how he was the two-time, not once, but two-time coach of the New York Jets.
Yeah.
Twice, but never coached a game. And most importantly, this is a film about this relationship between him and Parcells. And I was amazed at how much he gives credit to Parcells.
Yeah.
You know, you think of Bill Belichick as a guy who's self-made, a guy who grew up just born to do what he does. But he gives so much credit to Parcells for learning the big picture of how to run an organization, of how to motivate people. Parcells was like a jock whisperer. He knew everybody's strengths and everybody's weaknesses, and he knew how to use both of them to get the best out of players. I think Belichick learned that from Parcells, and you'll see tonight a lot of credit given to Parcells for Belichick being Belichick today.
Ken Rogers, director of the 30 for 30, called the Two Bills. It premieres tonight. That's February 1st at 9 p.m. on ESPN. We're pumped to watch it. I know everybody back home is pumped to watch it, too. So he goes on the record and talks about what made him great. Did he go on the record, and talk about some of the things that might be uncomfortable for him to talk about, whether it's in his personal life, whether it's his failure, quote, in Cleveland? You know, how deep did he go on the other side?
He went pretty deep on the tough times with him and Bill Parcells. We kept this film about the relationship between them.
Okay.
So, we've done full documentaries on the Cleveland 95 issue and how the team moved. The real tough issue here was the Jets' resignation.
Yeah.
Resigning from the Jets when Parcells retired, Kraft wanting to interview him. It was, if it happened today, in today's social media world, it would be the biggest story of the sports year by 10. Mm. I mean, it was gigantic then. It would be so big now. It was dramatic, filled with lawsuits, filled with all kinds of drama. And it really came down to Belichick not wanting to go into a situation where there was unknown ownership. People forget that Leon Hess, the Jets owner, had died, and he didn't know which owner was going to come in. So there's all this drama where Kraft faxed a request to interview Bill Belichick as head coach. Bill Parcells saw the fax, retired, either before the fax came, or after the fax came. No one knows. Which set into motion Belichick becoming the head coach of the Jets. Belichick retires as resigns as head coach of the Jets. It's a drama that is made pretty clear in this film. Came down to a simple decision about ownership and the fact that Robert Kraft and other ownership situations out there were solid, and Bill Belichick had been through the Cleveland stuff and didn't want to deal with the Jets situation.
Now, how long is the film running? 90 minutes?
It's a 90-minute presentation.
Yeah, 90-minute presentation.
Yeah, the film's 77 minutes with very limited commercials, so you know, it's chock full of material, and you know, there's tons of stuff that I think certainly the new generation have never heard. You know, Bill Belichick's nickname came up in a lot of media reports, you know, back in New York, which was Doom.
Doom?
Doom. And you'll hear you'll hear why Bill Belichick was nicknamed Doom. And I love that. I love that nickname. And it's just such a revealing film about his personality and what he goes through to become who he is today.
So what got left on the chopping block? What got left the editing room floor that you wish we were going to get a chance to have seen?
You know, not much. There's so much. We even kept in things where, you know, sort of bloopers. And you'll see, you'll see moments where sort of bloopers happen. And the most revealing moments are how they respond to that. So we kept that in. One thing that I found interesting was the fact that how they're both named Bills.
Yeah.
So Bill Belichick was named after a coach, which makes perfect sense given Bill Belichick's personality.
Yeah.
He's named after coach Bill Edwards, his godfather, who coached with Paul Brown. Bill Parcells was actually named Dwayne and took the name Bill because he was mistaken for another classmate who was named Bill, and created this persona, which is perfect for Bill Parcells because he was this self-created gregarious persona who created this outgoing character called Bill Parcells. So the how they were named Bill is a perfect analogy for who they became as coaches.
Ken Rogers of ESPN, but of NFL Films also, director of 30 for 30, called The Two Bills, premieres tonight, 9 p.m. What did people who have known them, you know, have played for both of them have to say, or have seen both? What did Robert Kraft have to say, someone who's managed both of them?
Well, you'll see what Robert Kraft has to say. He is really a star of this film.
Really?
After Bill and Bill, Robert Kraft has some things that will shake up all of New England, and will shake up some of New York as well. Revelations about how he feels the New York league office was involved in some of the machinations of Parcells leaving the Patriots, which, you know, might be headline worthy.
Wow. So I know what tomorrow's show is leading with.
Well, there might be some things there. He also, you know, talks about, you know, there's certainly some difficulties in dealing with the personalities of managing Bill and Bill. And you have to give a lot of credit to Robert Kraft for doing that over the years. That's why he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. And as far as the other players, it's funny. They are at a distance, too. We asked all of them about this relationship, and a lot of them can only speak from a distance as well, because this relationship is between two very private people who don't really share very often with those around them.
I read it took 3 years from the time they both said, yes, we'll do it, to actually do it? And then did it all get done, at least their portion, in one day? I mean, is that...
3 hours.
Unbelievable. And how did that come about?
Oh, we were lucky to get 3 hours. Yeah. I mean, to get 3 hours with them is an amazing accomplishment. I was like, what, 3 hours? You're going to give us 3 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Bill Belichick was passing through New Jersey and said, you know, if Parcells will be around, we're going to, you know, we could stop at the Meadowlands. You know, I'm going to be visiting my mother down in Annapolis. I'll stop. And Parcells agreed to come down. They walked into the locker room, and they both looked at us and said, start the clock. You know, they're not going to stay for 3 hours and 1 minute.
Yeah,
they're not going to do it. So we had 3 hours. At 2 hours and 45 minutes, I took them up to the Giants suite. So the Legends suite, they looked at the trophies. And there's a great moment where Belichick looks at the two trophies he won as a coordinator with the Giants and then looks at the two trophies he lost to the Giants as a Patriots head coach, and there's a great funny line there. And then with about 3 minutes left, I asked them at the end of the film, and this is in there, to come with me to the Jets locker room. And their response is a perfect response to the end of the film. They refused to go, and how they refused to go, and the way they treat me, I think, says everything about where they're at in their relationship now. So the 3 hours was filled to the brim, and when it hit the end, I mean, you'll hear Parcells in the film. He's where's the elevator? They're done.
Yeah.
Like they spent their time. They're not going to spend any more. They're still sticklers for the rules. 3 hours, bye bye.
Ken, last question. What surprised even you? You know them on a much better level than any of us will through your work in NFL films. What surprised even you?
You know, it surprised me that they were both so reverential towards each other. I thought there would be a little bit of, self-promotion, but making sure that they each got credit. They were both really intent on giving each other credit.
Yeah.
And I found that heartwarming. You know, I think Parcells realizes that Belichick has surpassed him when it comes to the accomplishments, but he knows that he was very important. And there's some moments in there where you can tell Parcells is a little bit in awe of what Belichick has accomplished. And at the same time, Belichick recognizes he would have never done it without Parcells. So I didn't really expect that. I thought there would be a little bit of a cool distance, but I think enough time has passed that the love you see between them surprised the heck out of me. And everyone who sees it starts out the film saying, oh, yeah, it's nice. They're co-workers. And by the end, they're slack-jawed. At the end of this 90 minutes, when I ask them, do they love each other? And how they respond to each other, which is my last question. Do you love each other? And have you told each other you love each other? The feeling in the room, you can tell they've gone through like therapy together and that this relationship has come full circle. That surprised me that they were willing to go through that.
The 30 for 30 is called The Two Bills. It premieres tonight, 9 p.m. Ken Rogers, the director of it, NFL Films and ESPN Films on this project as well. Ken, we appreciate the time and look forward to your next works.
I thank you for having me.
Awesome. Good insight, Brady. What did you take away from that the most? Because I thought there would be a lot more animosity and not all this love stuff, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't wait to see exactly what Robert Kraft has to say. I can't wait to see exactly what Ken is referring to when he says Robert Kraft has some pretty interesting things to say about how he thinks the league office kind of meddled potentially in getting Parcells out of New England and to be the head coach of the Jets. I can't wait to see that. I have not seen the film yet either.
Rich, and I'm going to ask Rich this, but he'll know better than us. Is it fair to say that there really is two Robert Krafts? One many years ago when his wife was alive, and the Robert Kraft we're kind of seeing now, who maybe had a few too many and stuff like that. I feel like it's two different people. I don't know.
Well, he's definitely aged, but the thing about Robert Kraft before was people forget he was a lifetime season ticket holder back in the Schaefer Stadium days, and he was just a Pats fan who happened to strike it rich by owning, you know, by buying the Gillette Corporation, and he was just a huge fan, and there was that sort of romance about, oh, isn't that a cute story? The guy buys, you know, the season ticket holder buys the team. And then they started winning, and it became he does feel more like a big business now.
No, so. There's no doubt about that. But that was very good, Brady. I'm looking forward to it. That's interesting. What are they going to do the 30 for 30 on you? or do it on, but I guess it's not going to happen to that. All right, I'll tell you what we want to do, though. When we get back, because, by the way, Brady out at Radio Row, thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. I'll tell you what we want to do. When we get back, Brady had a chance to catch up, and you're going to love this, Rich.
Oh, yeah. You'll love this one for sure.
Well, tell us, Brady, who would have set it up?
And why would that be?
Yeah.
Bonnie Jill Laughlin's going to join us. She has got quite the story from being a former NFL cheerleader to being a recurring character on Baywatch.
Yeah.
To also becoming the first female scout in NBA history. She's going to join us next. She's got a one interesting resume. Let's put it that way.
All right, you are in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
101.3 ESPN weather.
We're mostly cloudy with scattered areas of snow tonight into Friday. Could even be a couple of squalls before midnight. Expect a dusting to 2 inches for most, with a few isolated higher amounts in the mountains. Temperatures fall fast after midnight. We'll be in the low teens and single digits by morning. Friday, expect a mixture of sunshine and cloudiness. Temperatures stay in the teens, and it's cold and breezy. Friday night, mostly cloudy, cold and dry. Lows near 1. With the forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 36 at 101.3 ESPN.
The big game is drawing closer, and we've got our guy on the scene. The huddle is back, and Brady is live on Radio Row in Minneapolis at Super Bowl 52. Who's he going to talk to next? Keep listening to The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Day 4 of Radio Row here in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota, inside the Mall of America. And I'll be honest, I go into a lot of our interviews, I think, fully prepared of exactly what I'm going to ask and talk about. I don't know exactly where to take this interview right off the bat, and the reason why is because we're talking with Bonnie Jill Laughlin, who's got a resume that's incredibly long and diversified. So, former NBA and NFL cheerleader, former television star, was on Baywatch, also the general manager of an NBA D-League team, or the assistant general manager of an NBA D-League team, and now the first female scout in the NBA. What do you want to talk about first? Because I don't know exactly where to go. I got too many questions.
Well, I know everyone thinks NBA, but I want to talk football.
Yeah?
I want to talk Puppy Bowl. I'm actually one of the ambassadors for Puppy Bowl and one of the co-hosts for the live Puppy Bowl, and so I'm kind of promoting that here on Radio Row. And, you know, who doesn't love puppies and football? And it's the 14th season, so you know, I want to encourage everyone to watch the Puppy Bowl again on February 4th at 3 p.m. Eastern time.
My girlfriend and I adopted a dog, so we are very much...
Oh, okay, so we're already on. Yes, we're already like best friends
and
now.
She worked at a doggy daycare and has volunteered at Animal Rescue, so...
Oh, I love that she did that.
So, she's great, so and this cause is great. So tell us exactly what happens in the Puppy Bowl.
Well, basically, you know, you get a bunch of puppies that want to, you know, have all this energy, so put them on a football field, you know, 50-yard football field, and let them just go at it. And it's Team Rough against Team Fluff. And it's, you know, it's so cute. And this year, they actually have all the rescue dogs are from, you know, unfortunately, the tragedies that happened. So from Florida, Hurricane Harvey, and Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So those are going to be the dogs that will be up for adoption and that will be playing in the game.
So if I see a dog score 2 touchdowns and I say, that dog's a winner, that's the dog for me, how do I make that happen?
Well, while you're watching the game, they'll kind of, you know, break it down for you, where they're calling on, you know, going to their emails, to websites, all these different things. They give you all the options, and it's been great that all these dogs actually get homes. And I actually have a puppy from the Puppy Bowl. She was the MVP of the Puppy Bowl in San Francisco, and her name is Joe Montana.
Well, you were a cheerleader at one point for the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
And also the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
When they were a lot worse than they are now.
Yes. When I was there, it was back in the day, you know, for people who are older, they would remember the, you know, TMC days, you know, so...
Mitch Richmond.
Yep, I'm going to quiz you.
Chris Mullen.
Right.
Tim Hardaway.
Yep, Tim
Hardaway. Wow, so
you
I did get
good.
Them all.
So,
what happened?
Look at Jacob's
we got people next to us bumping into us.
Animals have better
We're talking with Bonnie Jill Laughlin. She's with us here on Radio Row. So take us through, how did you evolve your career from cheerleader to television star to now into the NBA?
Yeah, like we said, I started with the Golden State Warriors, then went to the Niners, and then went to the Dallas Cowboys. And from there, I got my degree, University of Texas, in broadcast journalism, and started working for ESPN, which was Cold Pizza, which is now First Take.
And Jay Crawford, the original host of Cold Pizza,
Jay.
He is down at the Not Done Network doing the 24-hour Patriot Talk.
Yes. Oh, I don't want to talk Patriots.
you're not an Eagles fan. Are you a Niners fan?
You know what? It's funny because, knowing that how much us Cowboy fans hate the Eagles, I'm actually rooting for the Eagles because I want to see Nick Foles upset Tom Brady. Is that weird that a Cowboys fan is actually pulling for...
It's funny you say that because we do have a lot of listeners that are Giant fans, and we ask them the same question. Okay, are you rooting for the Eagles or the Patriots?
Well, it's the same division, right?
So most of them were like, I just don't care. And some are like, I'm rooting for the commercials. I'm rooting for the halftime show.
And puppies.
And the puppy bowl. So those are the things that they are rooting for.
So from there afterwards, I end up working, covering the Lakers, doing their pre and post game for KCAL KCBS.
Yeah.
And then Phil Jackson was the coach at the time, and the late Dr. Jerry Buss, Jeannie Buss, Mitch Kupchak, they wanted to try a female out, and they knew that I knew the triangle offense and that I had a good eye for talent. And so they tried me out for a year, and I didn't get paid. And for a year, I did. It was Pac-10 at the time, and I just loved it, and they liked my scouting report, so they signed me to a 5-year deal, then another 5-year deal, and 5 championships later and 5 rings later.
So take me through
the first only female scout in the NBA.
Take me through what you're looking for when you're scouting talent.
I mean, back then, it was, different because Phil Jackson definitely had a certain, for his guards. Like, we would never take an undersized guard. He always, really big guards. Mm-hmm. Someone who has a really high basketball IQ. Someone who can run the triangle. Because the triangle's not for everyone.
Yeah.
It's not a run and gun
offense.
We saw
that with Carmelo.
and it's not a run and gun offense. So it's, when you get the triangle, it's not, basically, it's the guy that, look at Luke Walton. Do you think Luke Walton would have stayed, as long as he did in the league if it wasn't for the triangle or Derek Fisher or, So, it was different. But for every coach, it's different, what they look for. But, for me, it was Phil Jackson's type players.
Now, you were the assistant general manager of the Los Angeles Defenders?
Yes.
Am I right with that?
Right.
So that's their G League affiliate. What is it? What attracted you to the management side of things also?
Well, for me, I just wanted to know the basketball side, the business side, and being able to actually run a team, because I think that's, so important to really know, the ins and outs and the CBA and just everything. And so that's why, nothing better than to start there with, a D-League team.
Yeah.
Now they call it the G-League. And I loved it. It was tough, though, because I would have to go in and they'd make me cut players. So I'd have to go in a locker room and cut these guys.
Yeah.
Imagine a female walking in,
Yeah, was that a tough... What was that dynamic like?
I hated doing stuff like that because, you feel bad for these kids. This is their dream. And now a woman, is coming in telling them... they're going to lose their job. So, but then there was the upside of just seeing these guys actually get like a 10-day contract in the NBA and get, their foot in the door and finally being able to be seen and showcase their talent.
So what's next for you? What's the next frontier to conquer?
Oh, to conquer. Well, I mean, I want to be a minority owner of,
really?
A professional franchise, even like a 1%, Brady. I don't care if it's, just something.
Now, you've been with the Lakers organization for a long time with their G League. How do you handle LeVar Ball?
Huh. You know what's funny about that is that Magic Johnson said if anyone can handle him and his father, it'd be me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? That's high praise.
Right. But he hasn't really conquered that role yet. I'm saying? It's been, he's still, that father's still kind of, it's a circus.
Thought you made Magic Johnson said that if anyone could conquer it, it would be you.
Oh, no. No, he said himself.
Well.
So, and that hasn't been able to be done quite yet. They've simplified a couple different rules now, you can't interview a player's family and, all these different things. And, we just need to stop giving that guy a platform.
Of all the players you scouted, who are some of the players you were really diligent in the scouting efforts of?
I mean, you're going way back. So, sometimes our poor traffic sometimes didn't even make the team, But I don't know if you remember Jordan Farmar.
Yes, UCLA.
He was one of my guys.
Also this will be good. Jordan Farmar was also in the season finale of Entourage season 7.
How do you know that?
Because I love Entourage. It was, if the line was from Johnny Drama, if not for Jordan Farmer and that dude Kevin Love, I would have killed him, bro. That was the line.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. So. UCLA. Yeah.
That's right, because Kevin Love UCLA, uh-huh. too. So.
He just, yeah, and he's out now for 6 to 8 weeks, speaking NBA. But, yeah, what were we talking about?
We were talking about players you scouted, and Farmar's one.
Jordan Crawford, Sun Yui, who's from China, I got to scout in China. So, you know, there's a, you know, good amount of guys. But I wish I was scouting now because now, or at least the past 5 years, because they had a better, you know, pick back then, you know.
Well,
our draft didn't even matter as much.
We're hoping that pick this year goes to the Celtics because the Celtics pick, or if the Lakers land between 2 and 4, it becomes the Celtics pick. What do you think of the Seas now?
I'm a huge Kyrie Irving fan.
So are we.
like huge, huge, you know, and I've interviewed him so many times and he is such a good guy. And so I actually, you know, I know there's a rival with the Lakers and the Celtics, but I'm actually a big Kyrie Irving fan. So I'm always rooting for him to, you know, do well.
Is he hard to talk to? And I don't mean because he's a bad guy. He just like, he talks like next level. Like, so I feel like he's like going to bring in like celluloids. Like
he's
just,
so deep.
Yes, he's very layered.
And I've interviewed him after both when they won the finals and when they didn't win the finals post game. And same guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and he's, I don't know, I just think he's a class act and he's a really good guy. And, you know, he made sure to not really talk about LBJ on his way out. And he doesn't really want to discuss that, which I think is classy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really like to see him succeed because I think he's a really good guy. And he just became vegan. Did you know that? And
yes.
I'm the animal welfare person. I'm a vegan. So I like kind of like that.
So you got to be all in on Tom Brady, Mr. No protein, all kale, all everything.
Yeah, I know. He's good with that, too. That's because of his wife. And I think he does whatever Giselle tells him to, right?
hey, we'll get you out of here on this. Who's one of the best interviews in the NBA? And it doesn't have to be a star, just who's somebody who's incredibly insightful, intriguing, interesting.
Someone who's just funny.
Yeah.
And I would say Michael Irvin. I mean, he's just hilarious. You know, that guy is just so funny. And I've known him since back in the Cowboy days, and he just doesn't change. He's just funny. He says whatever comes to his, you know, no filter.
Yeah.
No filter. And he's funny, and he's charismatic. And, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, don't like Michael because at the time, you know, he was the nemesis of, you know, unless you were a Cowboys fan. But once you get to know him, you see how funny he is. And he's just, you know, he just says off-the-wall things. It's like Shaquille, you know, just says whatever. Him and Shaquille are just both funny guys. I like interviewing guys that are down-to-earth.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Bonnie Jill Laughlin, she's done everything in this world, it feels like. Model, cheerleader, sportscaster, entrepreneur, assistant general manager, first female scout in the NBA here with us on Radio Row. Puppy Bowl is February 4th. It's at 3 o'clock, 3:30, before the big game. Bonnie Jill, we appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, very good, man. Very insightful. How come I'm not hosting the Puppy Bowl? I think I'd be very good at that.
Actually.
Lord Stanley and Mr. Barksdale.
Absolutely. Very Lord good, though.
Lord Stanley and our dog Spike going at each other one-on-one in the slot.
My question is, why were people bumping into you when you were talking to her but not Lee Steinberg? That's what I don't understand.
I don't know, but yeah, somebody actually like legitimately ran right into her and elbowed her to the point she almost dropped the headset as we were talking.
She's had quite the career, man. Unbelievable.
I just don't understand how you go from Golden State Warrior cheerleader in the you know, in the NBA season to Niners and Cowboys, and then you're going to leave that world so completely. Well, you become, then you go to Baywatch, and then leave that all completely to become an NBA scout. I just don't understand. I don't know like how those two things coalesce into one person, but she did it and did it very, very well.
Did you see any more stars walking by while you were talking to her or what?
Yeah, Monty Toomer's here.
Oh.
Tim Brown, again, the Vikings GM, is on with the boys from South Dakota right now.
I used to do radio with him.
With Rick Spielman?
Yes.
So,
go up to him. I tried calling him and leaving my name and number. He never called me back. Go up to him and see if he remembers me, Brady. Seriously. Say, my co-host said he did radio with you.
Aren't you glad that you were sent out to Minneapolis to find out who all of Arnie's friends were?
Exactly.
So, and I'll say this. They're nice guys, but the most annoying people on Radio Row are the Minnesota, the K-Fan people, radio in Minnesota. Well, because they have the best spot on Radio Row. They're closest to the fans, so all of their listeners from Minneapolis are in here. And whenever anybody, like a Viking, comes on, they're like, all right, give three cheers for Stephon Diggs, and then the whole place goes crazy to the point where we can't hear anything else that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a legendary station up there. I know that.
Oh, legendary in their own minds that they're going to do that.
I think I'm on that station, by the way. No, I'm serious. I'm looking for
hey, and tell the general manager Ernie said hi.
Hey, don't I say hi? There you go. Well, that sounds like fun. No, I always love having a big crowd.
But it definitely, and you talked about this at the top of the show, Brady, it sounds like this is by far the busiest day in that mall, huh?
Yeah, in the mall itself especially, a lot of the fans are in because a lot of the hotels, and we learned this last week when we kind of talked about the ticket stuff, a lot of the hotels require a four-day minimum. So you're looking at then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the game, and then you're going to leave on Monday. So a lot of the fans are in now because of that four-day hotel stay. So there's definitely a Patriots-slanted crowd. There's a loud faction of Eagles fans, but it is slanted more Patriots in terms of just people you see around.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do when we get back. I know you have a guest, and then Rich and I and intern Aaron, we watched the new Bud Light commercial for the Super Bowl. So I'll give you my thoughts on that. And, you know, we told you to take the over 12 and a half on Dilly Dilly. So I wonder if this is, you know, the actual commercial that the bet's on. I wonder if they're still taking bets on that.
How do you get that before it comes out? Isn't that massively secretive?
Well, we'll get all to that. But, Brady, who are we getting to right when we get back?
Yeah, a couple of minutes we'll talk to Liam McHugh. Liam McHugh is on the Sunday night or he's on the Super Bowl broadcast for you know, Sunday Night Football, in this case on NBC. So he's going to join us, but he's also the host of the NHL on NBC. So we'll deviate and ask him a hockey question or two.
All right, that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Two-thirds of the huddle are freezing here in Vermont, while Brady is live on radio in Minneapolis, living it up. Actually, he's probably freezing, too. We're getting you ready for Super Bowl 52 right here on 101.3 ESPN.
We're here with Liam McHugh, the co-host of the Super Bowl 52 pregame show. Man, you do football, hockey, soccer, jack of all trades, huh?
It's
you're the utility infielder of NBC.
I guess so, yeah. It's been kind of a wild ride. And I have to say, football's been fantastic this year. Thursday night experience has been great. Working with Todd and Tony and Rodney, and those guys have really eased me into this whole football family at NBC. Hockey was something that I was a casual fan of before I actually got on NHL and NBC, so that was a big adjustment for me. And soccer is something I grew up playing, so I played a little in college. But thank you, it's good talking to you. But as you know, Premier League fans, die hard. So, well, it's fun. It's also one of those things where it's like, oh, man, these are devout fan bases, so you better get this right.
Now, did I hear you say you were a Boston Bruins fan?
I'm not a Boston
Bruins fan. Oh, I thought I heard you say you were a Bruins fan.
One of the guys I was.
So we're a Bruins affiliate, but since you're on the broadcast, what do you think of the Bees right now?
I think they're fantastic.
Are they going to catch Tampa in the East?
I think that's a possibility. I don't think it's really that important in the end, because I'm not sure that your matchup in the playoffs or the way the playoff format is now, I don't know if it's in your best interest to catch them, because you know what happens if all of a sudden you're looking at Pittsburgh in a wild card position and you're playing the Pens first round. I would think, I'll say this much about Boston. I was just talking about them. I think right now they're on track to come out of the East.
You know what really, and it was crazy, is they were so mediocre at Thanksgiving, and we had talked to Barry Melrose, and he said, If you're kind of out of it by Thanksgiving, you're just kind of done. And then here they are. It was, you know, at one point a 17 game point streak.
They have a really unique blend here, right? Where they have veterans and young guys, and everyone's seemingly coming together right now at the right time. Tuukka's been much better. They're getting scored. Brad Marchand is fantastic. You know, incidents aside, this guy, if you look at his points per game right now, he's legit MVP candidate. So I like that team, and I like the fact that they had veteran guys who've been there, they've done it in the playoffs, and if you can keep the young guys loose, keep most of the team healthy, I like them. I like them a lot to make a run.
Should Marchand have been able to play in the All-Star game if you've got a suspension from the league that kind of crosses into that time?
You know, to me it's one of those things where it doesn't bother me that he played in it. I'm not saying that the All-Star game isn't important, but it's a fun event. It kind of made for some great moments where he took the ice, the Tampa fans booed him, and you know, he played it up. So if he made a memory for some people down there, then it was worth it. But I don't have a huge problem with it.
How much prep time is going into the Super Bowl 52 pregame show?
It's a ton. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, day after day we get, you know, pages upon pages of notes. You're reading through all of that. You're having meetings. You're making sure that you know, what you're actually reading is geared towards what's going to be on that pregame show, which is you know, a bear of a show. It's a five-hour endeavor. So there's a ton of prep, but it's also, I don't want to say it's like doing homework because it's not boring.
Right,
you know,
right.
You wind up reading
fun research.
Exactly, you're reading interesting stories. You're getting nuggets on different players, and you know, you're doing it around guys you work with, who are your buddies. So it's great.
You got a prediction on the game?
I haven't predicted a winner. I'm not going to.
Okay,
but I will tell you this: I think it's going to be a high scoring game, and I think it's going to be very tight. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm thinking like low 30s to high 20s.
All right.
I don't know. If you look at the past with Belichick and Brady in the Super Bowl, they play a lot of competitive games.
Yeah.
And a lot of memorable games. We're going to get another one.
Liam, appreciate it, man. Thanks. Hey, thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Oh, very good. Look at you talking a little hockey out there.
Yeah.
Brady, look at you, my friend.
I wanted to make Rich happy. I had to.
And he doesn't like the Bruins, but he thinks they're really good. I'll take that.
Yeah, he thinks they're coming out. You know what's funny? Right before we came on the air, I heard him talking about the Bruins, but it must have been the other guy said he was a Bruins fan. Liam's from Long Island, so I guess that would make sense if he was a Rangers or an Islanders fan.
By the way, the interview brought to you by Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to go ahead and bring this up. We were watching the commercial for the Super Bowl, the Bud Light commercial, you know, where they go dilly, 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 dilly. And the over-under on Dilly Dilly, you could bet that for a 60-second commercial, was 12.5, went up to 15.5.
Right.
Just watched a commercial with intern Aaron. Very disappointed, intern Aaron. I gave it a C+. What did you give it, intern Aaron?
I think it deserved like a solid B+. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
It got a few chuckles, but I was counting the Dilly Dillies, and there was only four, Brady. There was four Dilly Dillies, so you should bet the under. And they introduced a new character called the Bud Knight.
We at the media party, there was a Bud Light booth, and there was a guy dressed up like a king.
Yes.
And he just kept screaming in a British accent, "Dilly dilly!"
Oh, jeez, what a great
dilly dilly!
What an awesome gig!
I gotta ask you, if you're getting you're seeing these commercials before they're playing on the internet.
Yeah.
How is it that you can bet?
They might have taken it off. I don't know. If you could still bet that, I would bet the under.
Of course.
You could still bet the under, dilly dilly.
Was it the full 60-second
yes,
ad?
It was the full 60-second commercial.
Boy, that seems like cheating, but that's something I'd be very interested in.
Well, they're in a big battle. The king who does the dilly dilly says, "Are we winning? I can't see from all the way back here." You know, because he's like taking cover.
Spoiler alert,
and then,
by the way.
And then here comes the Bud Knight guy. They go, "The Bud Knight guy is here. He's going to save us." And you see the knight come down. Go into a convenience store, and you hear the little beep beep. You know the
ding ding.
Yeah, yep. Gets his Bud Light, comes out. He goes, "You're not going to help us?" He goes, "Well, I got a friend who's got this birthday thing going," and he was going to take off. And then he goes, "Well, I guess I can help," and lifts his sword, and something crazy happens, and that's pretty much it. So was it? Yeah, I was a little disappointed.
Doesn't sound very inspiring, dude.
No.
But, and yet somehow I'll still drink Bud Light on Sunday.
Yeah. So you know, we'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of the commercials have been released. You can just Google Super Bowl commercials and check it out. Brady, do they not have any of the Super Bowl commercials released down there or what?
Nah, I so don't care about the commercials.
Really, I love it. I love that stuff.
That's because you fall into the group of people I'm about to say.
Wow.
If you care about the Super Bowl commercials, then your team is not good enough to play in the game.
Precisely.
Well, that's true, though. It's not good enough to play in the game. But I love the commercials. I feel like I'm missing out if I'm not able to hear the commercials and stuff.
The one thing that was funny was the Justin Timberlake press conference today about the halftime show. And some woman goes to him, "Would you like this to be the most memorable performance you've ever had?" And he goes, "That would be the plan." And he was like, he was laughing about it, but he's like, "What dumb question that was." And then somebody goes, "What was the inspiration for doing the halftime show?" And he looks at her again and he goes, "They called, I answered, they offered, I said yes." Like that. So he was having none of it. And then one woman was like, well, some Boston reporter was like, "Do you like Tom Brady?" And he said yes. He goes, is Boston Cream your favorite donut? And he's like, not my, he's like, I like it. I don't discriminate against donuts. He's like, but is Boston Cream your favorite? And she's like, you know, because if it is and you love Tom Brady, then are you rooting for the Patriots? And then he just goes, I like the Packers. And that's what he said.
Can't he play along? I don't understand. It's so tough to play along every once in a while. Oh, my goodness.
And then he announced that he would never let his kid play football, which turned into the big story out of that press conference.
I don't know why you would decide to make that announcement right before the Super Bowl, in which you're appearing in. I don't know if the NFL's happy about that, to be honest.
I would assume he was asked.
Oh, but he lied about all the other stuff he lied about, like, you know, the house. I mean, what's with the attitude? I like Justin Timberlake, too. I actually do, so.
I like Justin Timberlake also. I think he's going to be great. And I'll say this. I have never once cared ever at all for even 1 second about the halftime show.
Right.
But I am interested to see who Justin Timberlake brings up.
I was just about to say I don't usually care about the halftime show also, but I am interested. Yeah. Is there any rumors out there, Brady? I mean, all I care about is if he's going to bring Janet Jackson out, but I guess that's not going to happen, is it?
I asked somebody. Remember we asked Doug Kazarian yesterday about the prop bet. He's taking other when the choices are Britney Spears, Janet Jackson, a member of NSYNC, or other.
Ugh. Wow.
I talk about has-beens on parade.
Oh, my goodness.
Ugh.
What are you talking about has-beens? You know Britney Spears is making new music again, right?
Stop. Is that what you call that?
Come on. She's a musketeer.
Easy, stop. Mr. Star 92.9 in the morning.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
All right, I'll tell you what. When we get back, good last story standing. Arthur Blank's not happy with Robert Kraft, and we will tell you why when we get back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Rich, tell us, why is Arthur Blank not too happy about with Robert Kraft?
Well, this is kind of an interesting one. Of course, the collapse of his Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl last year.
28-3 they were up.
28-3, as everybody that wasn't in a cave that day knows that was the case. He says the disappointment didn't lessen when New England unveiled its championship rings and all 283 diamonds that were embedded in.
Which we knew about that.
I don't know anything about rings or jewelry or anything, but how do you fit 283, if anything, into a ring?
Well, when Blank found out, he quote-unquote said, I was kind of hissed off at you about that.
Yeah, he says to Robert Kraft, he says, quote, you don't have to do the 28-3 thing in the ring. It kind of peed him off. Yeah, he wasn't very happy.
I love when owners do that. I love that.
So, I mean, my thought isn't so much that that was a knock on Atlanta. It was more like, how do you fit 283 diamonds into a ring? How does that work?
Brady, what's going on? First of all, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night?
Well, Brian Baldinger is sitting over to my right. He's waiting. He's
Baldy!
Gonna come on.
Baldy!
He's going to come in a couple of minutes from the NFL Network. Myron Medcalf of ESPN, Mike Golic Jr. They're all going to stop by here in hour number 3 in Champlain Valley game night. And remember, Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, McGillicuddy's Five Corners in Essex. All right. 6 o'clock.
Champlain Valley game night coming up next. Stick around. Listen to Brady live from the Super Bowl. Thanks to our friends over at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie, and intern Aaron.
Come on.
All right. 101.3 ESPN.